Wizard Magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 328. The new and improved Pittsburgh Comics. First edition, volume one.
Nowhere to go but up.
But the construction is done. They've wrapped up and left. All the actual physical work on the building is completed. And now it's just me rearranging stuff inside, but most of that is done as well. Finished up moving the kids section today. So if you come in, I've been posting pictures online, so you'll get an idea of what it looks like, but I'm really, really happy with how everything has turned out. So.
Pizza.
Yeehaw. What?
The little orphan Annie.
Yeah.
Looks like Little Caesars. Like the header and the
funner thing.
Don't scrunch your face up whenever four other people just said, yes, it does. Like we're crazy.
They could have stolen the font.
Continue your intro.
No, I'm done with the intro. I'm Colin, the man owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Spencer. Pat.
A disgusted Josh. Don't even want to be here now.
Well, now he's hungry for a Little Caesar.
That's true.
Could have been a wing night tonight.
Could have been at a barbecue.
That's weird.
I'm a little out of it. I'm tired from moving everything today.
They were kids' books. How heavy could they be?
I don't know. It was only, what, 8 bookcases worth and moving the bookcases. And remember, I didn't just move them once. I had to take them off the bookcase, move the bookcase, put them back on the bookcase. So
why didn't you have...
Have what?
Have some of your helpers help you move books. They're pretty good,
Tim
aren't
was
they?
Ringing people up.
No, well, he was busy. I mean, some of your other helpers.
I don't have any other helpers here today. I figured I could get it done because it was just kind of me. So I got it done. And I wanted to get it done before I left since I'm not going to be here next week. I want to try to get everything done.
Toxic Avenger.
Yes, Troma. News. I don't remember a ton of news. I don't remember anything big.
DC has some big announcement for tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw that about their streaming. Yeah, they told us to pay attention, so big announcement on that.
Pay attention or else.
Well, I almost want to send a message. Hey, how about retailers get a free subscription to the thing, because I can have it playing in the store all day long.
Asking ain't stealing.
No. I will shoot Stuart a message tonight about that.
I guess the Justice Department also cleared Disney to buy.
I saw that.
Fox.
Yeah, I saw that.
$72 billion, right?
It's cash in stock. I thought it was actually like 82, but it they may have dropped it because I know that they had to drop some of the channels out of the deal.
Oh, really?
Like the sports they only had channels or something? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they only had to drop Fox Broadcast Network.
Well, because they already have ESPN, so I think that's where the conflict of interest came in.
Yeah, I'm surprised they wouldn't just like rebrand it under the ESPN umbrella and be done with it.
They can.
Oh, they can?
Because then it becomes monopolist.
Oh.
But
you already have ESPN 8 the Ocho. Like, that's already monopoly.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm curious about that because let's say Disney gets the deal. So, like, all, you know, they'd own all Fox's properties, like Alien and Predator and all that. So, did they pull that from Dark Horse, too?
I don't know, because I don't know if they would want those books under the Marvel banner.
Well, they pulled Star Wars.
Yeah, but Star Wars is family-friendly. Predator's not.
Different. Enough.
Yeah. The Little Mermaid meets Predator.
I'd read that book.
Archie met the Predator. That was great. That was the first Archie book I ever read. Thanks, Dave.
I've owned that book for 2 or 3 years now, and I still haven't read it.
Really?
Yeah. Someone gave it to me, but I just haven't read it.
Okay. I do have a question, though. So, not for you guys. This is from James. So there was, I'll just read the question.
Question. Why is it...
Oh, come on, phone. What are you doing here? Why are you loading this question?
James wants to know Colin's thoughts on the DC Walmart underpage books.
I just wanted to read the actual question, but there it is. Why is it not loading?
Your phone is making for bad radio.
Yeah.
This happened to you last week.
But
turn off Wi-Fi.
Why should it be loading? It was already there. I've already downloaded it.
Because phones and the internet are stupid sometimes.
So turn off.
Technology sucks.
Says the guy that works in technology.
That's why he knows it sucks.
I have my finger on the pulse of it. I know it sucks.
But basically, he's wondering my opinion. DC announced, Bleeding Cool announced, and then DC followed up with talking to us about it. But they're going to be doing 100-page specials, 4 different ones. There's a Superman, a Batman, a Justice League, and a Teen Titans.
Monthly,
Monthly, that they're going to be selling for $4.99 at Walmart. And they want, and it's going to be all reprints, but with a 12 pages of new content. There's going to be a Tom King Superman story, Bendis Batman, and then some other. I forget. I think
like
it's
Wonder Woman and Teen Titans.
Yeah,
I can't remember who does it.
Yeah, I forget who's on it.
Palmiotti is on one.
Doing
of them.
Something, and then it's either Seeley or no. Dan Jurgens, I think, is doing the Teen Titans. I'm not 100% sure, but basically DC talked to us about it, and it made a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense for them getting into Walmart and moving, you know, getting some new readers. It's going to be carried in every Walmart, and a lot of retailers were upset. The only thing about it that bothers me is King and Bendis and stuff giving them another task, and will it be taking away from their time, to write the stories for us? That's my only concern
like
with
Bendis
that.
Bendis I get because he has all these books come out under his own imprint, plus his DC Universe
right,
books.
Right,
but
he's
King's
got
only
lot.
Writing like Batman two. And Miracle Man, right? That's
I think
it.
So.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Miracle's about over. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Miracle, not Miracle Man. Yeah. Jesus.
I would think that at this point he's got
Jesus.
The scripts done on that.
Dang.
Yeah, because I think 12 is in this preview, so it's already in the can. Which is where Colin prefers it.
So it's that, and then the fact, just the price point, only in the sense of if somebody goes there and finds it and goes, oh, this is neat, and comes to get a book, all of a sudden it's $3.99 for a much thinner product, and it's just a little, price confusion. I'm not worried about losing, nobody's going to stop shopping here and go buy all their comics at Walmart. That's not going to happen. So that's not a concern there.
The retailers that were yelling, betrayal, this is DC showing how disloyal, You really wanted something to really yell about.
Pretty much. I was listening to the Comic Conspiracy podcast, and they had an interesting point, is that all the speculators are going to go and buy, like, the Batman first one to get, or the Superman to get, or no, the Batman to get Bendis's first Batman story, and that's going to be hot online and all this. So they're going to sell out of that to speculators, and all of a sudden number two isn't going to sell at all because the people didn't get the first one. Mm-hmm. And then it's all of a sudden Walmart's going to have all these unsold books and it's going to crash and burn. I'm like, that's a very possible thing.
I don't know, though, because if it's going into every Walmart,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot of freaking stores.
It is, but they're not going to have like 100 copies each. They're probably going to have 10 copies each or something.
But still, that's a lot of copies. I don't think they're going to see that much of a spike on sales.
But I can see all the speculators going to get it for that.
Yeah.
Well, I also got to wonder, DC's offering them returnability.
Right.
So
that
if
I don't know.
Case, there might be 100 copies in every store.
It could be. But I just don't... Yeah, it was just funny saying, this it could backfire, just in that regard.
Or they'll do second prints of them.
Yeah. Or it'll just be, a flash in the pan. Like, it'll start off well and then kind of trickle, and Walmart will go, okay, this isn't paying for its space.
Every time someone says flash in the pan, I always expect them to say flash in the pants, which would be funnier to me.
Okay, I'll say that next time. And then the other thing about GameStop carrying the stuff, it's like, I don't see they're going to do a subscription model. It's funny that the guy who did comics at Hastings is now doing it there. It's like, didn't Hastings just close all their stores? So is that the guy you really want to get? Not to say it was his fault.
He was just doing the comics.
Right, but I'm just saying, it's not, he doesn't, It was just like
I'm just saying. I don't think what he did or didn't do.
No,
that.
No.
The comics put Hastings.
No, I don't think so either. But I don't know if it was doing gangbusters there. So I just see it odd. You know, are you going to get a subscription for comics at your GameStop? I'm not. I don't see that as a threat.
I know. I'm just saying. It'd be like if you went out of business. Not you're going out of business.
Right.
But then somebody would be like, well, don't hire Tim Coleman out of business.
Right. No. 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 I hear you. But it was just funny. You know, this guy going, oh, we're going to revolutionize everything. It's like, okay. Not super duper worried about that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't picture going into GameStop Weekly.
Yeah, well, I get it for them is where the game
didn't GameStop also just not necessarily announce, but just say they're looking
yeah,
for someone
for
to buy them up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, so, I heard something about like Hot Topic or something was supposed to be buying them or something.
But I've been hearing that the game sales are dropping only because people are doing just a lot more downloadable stuff because there's no real reason to buy a physical copy
That's
anymore.
Me.
And so
it's cheaper to buy physical copy because there's a lot more sales
okay.
For new release games on physical. But I just wait for sales
yeah.
and buy them on digital.
But so they're just looking to expand. You know, what are comparable products that they could carry? And comics are kind of a natural thing. But it is kind of funny because it does kind of harken back to the 90s when every card store started carrying comics. And it boosted up. And the one concern is that with DC going in with Walmart, that then puts Diamond in the mix. And it's, and with also with GameStop. Diamond and GameStop, and then just the concern is all of a sudden it drops. What happens to Diamond?
Well, and that also is going to skew numbers.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming they're going to report on Walmart sales.
Oh, hell yeah.
Maybe, but it's going to be a unique item that we can't carry.
Yeah, but it's still going to show up under Diamond numbers for DC's market share and dollar share.
Yeah.
And since it's all reprint, that's...
Not
yeah.
all, like they're still yeah. considered new because there's that 12 pages.
I get that, but I mean it's essentially a reprint. That's kind of a it's sketchy numbers.
Yeah, but I think it burns them that even whenever they are the perceptions are doing really well that they can never
yeah.
you know beat Marvel
yep.
in those charts. This might be a way to finally you know get some headway.
I was actually listening to a podcast. It was like called Business War or something like that. It was Marvel versus DC, and it was really interesting. We were talking about how, you know, kind of Marvel's rise and, you know, what kind of got them over DC hump, and then DC has never beat them since that.
I've been playing catch-up ever since.
But that's all I have for questions. I did forget to ask for questions then. I do apologize. Just it was kind of crazy.
You should set a reminder on your phone.
I did, but I saw it, and then I just kind of never went back to it. I didn't, not so much ignore it, just forgot about it.
Didn't heed it.
Did not heed it. You're correct. Because we got really busy. And I was talking to people, having a good old time.
Good old time.
It was like a party. Party in my pants.
Wasn't Lido at your party?
I love Lamp. Sorry.
Does someone want to switch me seats?
No.
Anybody else have anything? Any news? Any thoughts on anything going on?
They've been announcing more and more people for that Bloodshot movie. Recently, they're talking about starting filming in July, so that's happening soon.
Those t-shirts are all upside down.
I hate that they do this.
That is crazy.
Drives me nuts. Why can't it just be oriented the same way all the way through?
Like how it used to be.
Yeah, dumb. I don't mind changes when the changes make sense. But yeah, I can't think of any other big news.
I read about a Morbius movie today. Did anybody see that?
I heard something
no.
about it, yeah.
Yeah, Jared Leto to yeah. play Morbius.
Yeah.
That's a weird...
Yeah, I think that's a weird choice, too. Because I always picture Morbius as kind of a bulky
character. I think it's a weird choice for the character to like to make a movie from about that character. But yeah, I guess I could... I don't know.
Well, they were saying something about they might do a Silk spinoff movie.
I saw something about
yeah.
that, too, just
and
briefly.
Like,
I just, yeah.
Everybody's clamoring for that.
Unicorn selfie Q-fig? What the hell is that? Deadpool.
Is that?
Oh, he's holding his... Okay, he's holding a unicorn.
That's a thing.
It is.
Is it?
Deadpool with a unicorn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the movie.
Which movie?
The first one.
Oh, okay.
He was pulling the unicorn.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I had him riding a unicorn in the animated credits.
Mm. I understand now.
But that's all I got for news. Lots of big changes here at the store, so if you come by.
How big are they?
Crazy. We moved the counter, moved the kids section, totally opened up the comic side, and looks made a lot of space on the trade side, so I'm excited.
I heard you were really wishing you had another 3 inches.
Who doesn't? No, we just, I pushed the counter out a little bit to give us a little more room behind the counter since it's not really pushing in, I mean, it's pushing into the main sales floor, but.
Pat won the podcast.
Yeah. And that's about it. That's all the news, but yeah, fun and excitement.
You sound tired.
I am exhausted. I've been up since 5. I finished the order this morning. And then spent all day moving all the books and bookcases from the kids section. And I am pretty beat.
How many times do you think they can re-release this statue?
Good Lord,
in different
variants? I know. Yeah, sepia tone Harley bombshell. I mean, it looks a little nicer than the Christmas one. But.
I like the sepia tone, but it just, this is the fourth variant of this they've come out with,
yeah.
I think.
Because, oh, you had the ride in the bomb. Yeah.
Well, they keep selling out. They'll keep making them.
Yeah.
That's true, I guess.
Look at all those.
One of everything.
Yep, you want one of each?
No.
The Kobayashi Maru?
What's that green one down there?
The Arctic Explorer. Warship Voyager. So, I don't think I want
Warship.
I realize
there were so many ships.
Tons of ships.
They put, you know, it's kind of like Star Wars action figures. They put the one guy in the bar scene.
No.
And he has action figure. Well, that ship's like floating by in the background somewhere, or like, let's.
They have been doing that.
Yeah.
And some of the ships, like, it's very clear, they just, whenever they built a model for it to just be in the background, they just took, like, pieces of models from existing ships and just, like, kind of merged things together to see what, like, what worked. So I haven't been buying those ones, and they've been doing a lot of like concept art ones, and I haven't been buying those either.
They have to be in the show, and then you'll buy
them. I've cut down because now it's getting ridiculous because I have 3 full cabinets, and I don't really want to have to, you know, get more cabinets.
My wife was saying something about Patrick Stewart was going to do another Jean-Luc Picard. Like, he was going to be in a show or something?
Supposedly they're developing more Star Trek shows for the
All-Access.
Oh, really?
And they said, and apparently some kind of rumor, that one of them is going to be about Captain Picard.
So I heard they were trying to think of ways to have him in Discovery in some way, which I don't like.
When does Discovery take place?
10 years before the original series.
And how long does... Because he's in Next Generation, so how long does that take place after?
About 200
years
after.
That doesn't seem like good math to me.
Well, I mean, they're not against time travel. But I just feel like Discovery's about these characters. Don't muddy the waters by putting in, you know, Jean-Luc Picard. And as much as I like his character, but I feel like it's about those characters. You already soured me with the whole way Enterprise ended, and it was... Riker and Troy on the holodeck the whole time. But if they're going to do, like, other shows...
Yeah, it sounded to me like it'd be his own show or maybe some kind of new Next Generation show or something.
Yeah. But I make it to Kobayashi Maru.
There you go. Cool.
That one's cool. Although I don't know if that's exactly how it's supposed to look. Well, I guess they would know better than I would, but... it's a 2009 movie version of the show. Okay, that's why it looks a bit different to me.
Gotcha.
So now you can have multiple copies of each ship, slightly different than the other one.
No, they haven't released this one yet at all.
Okay.
But I was thinking of...
But do you have a Kobayashi Maru... Like from the show or something? Is it different looking than the movie?
No, I was thinking of how it looked in the Star Trek 3, the Search for... No, it wasn't Search for Spock. I guess maybe it was Star Trek 2, Wrath of Khan, where we saw the Kobayashi Maru. Because Kirstie Alley is a Vulcan, and she's going through the test.
That means
I thought that was the second one.
Did I say Wrath of Khan? Yeah. Because Spock is her instructor, so it can't be Search for Spock.
Yeah, it can't be Search for Spock.
You don't know who Kirstie Alley is?
Well, no, I know who she is, but I haven't really watched a whole bunch of Star Trek.
So you don't know who the Kobayashi Maru is?
No.
Oh, the no-win scenario? Kirk cheated?
It was a
simulation in Starfleet Academy. He cheated to...
I would always get that one confused. What was the one that had, where they had the grid that they were having to negotiate, and then all in the same... I love the episode because there were three unique things going on in the episode. Each one was great, but they didn't go together. Then someone was phasing in and out of the dimension, and then there was also like some poison going through the ventilation system. I just remember it was the most fascinating episode because it had those three separate storylines all going on at once.
Original series?
Yeah. It was like there was some grid that they were in that they had to figure out how to escape.
Was it the one with the Tholians?
I have no idea.
The Tholian.
But I just remember, but for some reason I always thought that was the Kobayashi Maru. Mm-mm. I forget the name of them. I think it was like a season 3 episode. I just remember I was just fascinated by it because I'm like, there's so much going on here.
Fascinating.
So, no other news? Anybody want to talk about books?
Yeah, might as well. We're
Spencer,
here.
Why don't you start?
Oh, okay.
Spencer never starts.
Amazing Spider-Man 801, the end of Dan Scott's last issue of Spider-Man, which, I mean, it was a good issue, but I don't know if they necessarily needed it. That would have been good.
I thought 800 just wrapped that series up so well.
Yeah. Because, like, this issue, it's... Spider-Man's hardly even in it. It's more of this... It might be the first person he saved, or one of the first people he saved in...
I saw Uncle Ben, then.
from a...
It was the Tholian web, actually.
From the convenience store robbery, and it just kind of... It shows him... As the years go by, and he gets his own family, and
all because of Spider-Man.
All because of Spider-Man, and he was able to see, because when he got held up, he was on his way. He only stopped to get a pack of cigarettes before going to see his mother or grandmother dying. She was real sick in the hospital. He's able to make it, but during that whole thing, kind of stops him to quit cigarettes and. In the present, it shows that Spider-Man is after some of the Sons of the Demon. It was like the Mr. Negative's henchmen. They had like a briefcase with something in it. And one of them's getting away. Spider-Man asks for somebody to stop and to try to stop him. And the guy sticks his foot out, trips him. Spider-Man's able, you know, to get him then. And they have like a nice little conversation about like how
he thanked him for saving his life and Spider-Man didn't remember him. Yeah.
And then that left...
How many thousands of people?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. That was basically it. But it was a case where he really didn't save him at the time. Just by interfering, the guy then stopped buying cigarettes. So it just kind of...
And then so after he has a talk with his daughter about like... Because she was all upset that first...
It had a neat image, too, when he came through the window. It was the Amazing Fantasy cover.
Okay.
Like, he came through this window and got him under the arm. It was a good...
It kind of almost seemed like, I don't know, they were trying to hint, like, that's what happened after that cover. He swung down and then ran into that...
But I'm like, man, you just smashed in the poor guy's window. That probably was more expensive than the money he was going
to
steal.
And I bet that rang true to you, too. Probably like, oh, no!
I saw that. I'm like, dude.
But, I mean, it was a pretty good issue. I liked it, and I'm really looking forward to see where this new new series is going to be going with the new number one.
Yeah. What issue? What are you talking about?
Amazing Spider-Man 801.
I don't care about that.
F that. It was the Tholian web.
Funk Dad.
Was
it Tholian web? Okay.
Batman.
Almost lost cred there.
No. I didn't remember that detail. I do, but when I saw this, the thing,
the ship.
No, the description. I sent it to you. But it said, Kirk trapped in on a disintegrating starship drifts between dimensions as an alien web closes around the Enterprise. So, which is pretty much how I described it. Okay.
But, Batman?
I read that.
Yeah.
So, I
was
didn't
Batman
love...
in that issue?
He was laying
there.
He's
level. Knocked out.
I didn't love the previous issue for that arc, but I love this one.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the way, like, just the banter between Catwoman and the Joker, and though I wonder how much time did, because they kept on just saying later, like how long could the Joker stand there?
Not long. I mean, like, hold his neck. He would have bled out. But
you think either one of them would have bled out?
Batman wouldn't have been
that knocked out
for that long. Yeah, you know, probably 20 minutes at the most.
Yeah, that part was a bit of a stretch, but. That banter was really good.
Yeah, just the back and forth and them talking about just, like, their history together and...
Those two MFers better get married in Batman number 50, because if it's a big bait and switch...
Nope, not happening. She's infected with Joker toxin.
They better get married in issue 50.
Look at the last page.
I know, I saw that last page. They better get married in issue 50, because it's one big bait and switch. I'm going to be pissed.
Well,
it's going to be null and void because she was on the Joker toxin.
I'm serious. This whole thing was just a big, ruse. Dropping
all
Batman. Dropping Batman.
Just to get the Joker.
Well, since you're talking about the bait and switch, I'll go to X-Men Gold. It's supposed to be the... the big... wedding of Colossus and Kitty Pryde that didn't happen.
So I didn't read it, but here's.
But other
problem.
People got married.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, but Marvel spoiled it themselves on Monday.
Yeah, they did.
That was total BS.
That's what they always do, though.
I get it, but it's like, why would you do that? Like, it's not even like Tuesday when the retailers get it.
Yeah.
It's Monday.
But they've had a long history of spoiling their own stuff.
Oh, I know.
But
I'm not surprised. I just think it's BS.
Yeah.
Are you going to get this Chuck Norris action figure, Pat?
I think you...
I wasn't.
Yeah. I think you have to, though.
It does look pretty damn cool, yeah.
His shirt is open almost as low as Hawk Girl.
Blue shirt.
Chuck Norris.
But,
okay. Well, I'm just saying.
Though I feel like there's lack of chest hair there. I figured he would have...
I started off saying Chuck Norris.
Oh, gotcha. Oh yeah. Chuck Norris, definitely.
Yeah, I figured there would be a lot more chest hair there.
I was posting pictures on Facebook, sir.
Jeez.
It was a before and after of the kids section.
I like
Bob's
that a lot.
Big boy. Oh, so
I like it a lot there.
I'm very happy with it.
Little
more to do, but not a lot.
I do hope that doesn't just become a lounge area still.
No. I'm not putting the chairs there.
So. No, but like I just hope that... People don't just like drag chairs over. And just,
no,
like,
no.
Hang out,
I had the chair there just because I had to sit.
Not you.
I'm talking
about like.
Yeah. No.
You can do what you
want. I'll put the red chairs over here.
Yeah.
And they're welcome to sit over here.
But I think that it feels super open.
Yep.
The kids section looks so much better than it did before.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And I like that you're putting the new this week and new last week right by the door. Because I was worried if you put something there long term, the sun would kind of wash out colors,
move.
But it'll be changing. So
every week. One concern is the light here, mostly, I want to say over there, because the sun's going to come that way. But still, those should be changing every month as well. So nothing should be sitting there super long to get faded.
What are you going to do with the previous new last week shelves?
Those are going to be like a spotlight, I figure, because that's a great market. Everybody's going to see that walking in.
Yeah.
So I can do, hey, there's a new, something big is going on with Spider-Man, do a bunch of Spider-Man books. That's something I can change weekly
now. Yeah,
because
you got that little spotlight shelf over
there. Right,
but
that's
fine.
Right, but for there, that I can change weekly. Anything I want to show, Warren Ellis has a new book. Here's some other Warren Ellis books. So, that's going to be
going
to be good. Yeah, but that's what I'm doing there.
I think all the changes are very nice.
Yeah,
I
took took lemons and made lemonade out of it. Her crashing through the wall sucked, but I think we've turned it into a real positive.
Yeah, I think it's better than it was before.
Yeah, I'm really happy, and we're going to get the poster frames Saturday. Tony's going to put those up, so we'll have all the promo posters outside. And we'll change those up as new ones come in. And we get them not every week, but...
Every other week.
Yeah, we get more every week, every once in a while. So those won't get stale. Because I think that's one big problem for a lot of stores, is that the promo posters, you know, they go up in the window and then they're up there for years. So, this way. And also now I don't want to have to cover up the windows. Like, I'll take that one down because I have a dedicated spot now for them.
Yeah.
Before it was kind of, where can I put them? Because that really wasn't trying to block light. That was just, where else can I put the posters?
Yeah.
So,
And even moving just that bookshelf right here,
yeah,
even opens up this window.
Oh,
more
absolutely. And that shelf's not going to be there either. That's just temporary. Because it's actually going in the back by the back door for supplies and stuff like that. But it's just one of those, yeah, that's restocking the quarter box level of importance. But there's no point in carrying it downstairs when I'm just going to need to bring it up.
Yeah,
so yeah, nice. No, I'm very, very happy with how everything is working.
Really opened a space up. Even the window over there.
Yeah.
Looks much better now.
It looked really good before I put the bookshelves there, but still it's okay. Like, the light was coming right onto the floor and really brightening it up.
You gotta do so much
No, no, I can't let all that area die. And that's a huge window. So no, and that side has plenty of light from all the fluorescent, where this side was always a little more.
Now the question that everyone wants to know is, is the fridge coming back?
Yes. We just got to bring it up. It's actually going to go right at the end of the kids' bookshelves. There's a spot for it. We just got to carry it upstairs from downstairs. Somebody has to.
You got a new one, or is the old one still?
There's a new one. No, okay. I have a new one down there. They replaced it.
Is there soda to go with
it? There is not soda to go with it. I just got to place an order.
Well, I appreciate that. You would have the fridge, but if it's empty, it doesn't.
Right, no.
Good.
But there was no point in placing a soda order until I was ready to plug the fridge in. Do you understand? You know what I mean, Vern?
On this one, I have to agree with Colin, because you don't know if the schedule's going to get thrown to shit or not.
Right. So I will place an order for more soda.
Yeah, because that soda, it goes bad like in 10 minutes. So yeah,
it's not that fast, but I didn't know when this was going to be done.
Watch out. Pat's in full dick mode right now.
I thought that was his, like, fall safe.
Like, he's always in that mode, but right now it's full. Full on.
I'm just saying.
Hard on.
What else you got, Spencer?
I just finished up X-Men Gold. They didn't get married.
Okay. Well, no.
Gambit, but Gambit and Rogue got
Kitty
married.
Kitty and Peter didn't get married, but...
But...
How were they able to kiss?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if what point they...
They're a lip locker thing? I forget what they're called.
Well, at different times, Rogue has had a controller for
a dental dam.
Dental dam, there you go, thank you.
I wasn't sure if it was because since he generates so much energy, if it just balances out or what. But
he would have been kissing all these years.
Well, like I said, I think... Because recently, at different points, they've had...
McGillis?
Bye, Tim! That she's had control of her powers, like, off and on, so I don't know if this is a part where she has control or not, but...
And now you finally know what that X-Classified book is.
Yeah, but you're happy about that.
Are you going to buy it?
Special honeymoon episode, right?
No, probably not going to get it.
The uncensored honeymoon
episode. The odd in the preview for it looked
probably
good,
sell a lot more copies
from Boundless.
Yep. But that's about
Colin!
It.
Colin! You can get a can of Walking Dead chocolate pudding. It's a lunch tote.
That is so funny.
Carl.
Sandy had craving one day, the other day for, and she came home, just a little thing of pudding, and I just laughed. She's like, what? I'm like, I can't even explain it. But
did you just say Lajiki Jarger?
I wanted to. Dirty, dirty, dirty.
But
it sounded more like T-Mobile, but yeah.
No, but that's how it went.
Yeah. Well, they didn't really explain why they wanted, why she what? Did.
Oh, yeah, so why didn't they get married?
Kate, she just didn't, as Peter was getting ready to put the ring on, she just phased.
She went intangible.
Yeah.
That's kind of messed up.
Yeah, that's kind of jacked up.
After all these years, I can't believe
she has to find, and the next story in her book is about her reliving her first true love, who is another Peter.
So
she's already
Peter.
Dated. She's dated
Quill.
Well, Peter Quill. But I thought there was another. No, it wasn't Peter.
Well,
Fry.
In the Ultimate,
Parker.
No, Peter Wisdom.
Pumpkin
Wisdom.
Eater.
No, Pete Wisdom.
In the Ultimate universe, she did date Peter Parker.
Ha. Okay. Ha. Fair enough. I never read the Ultimate stuff. Sorry.
Neither did I, but I am a good guesser.
She has a Peter Tramp stamp, so she's kind of stuck.
Yeah,
but she spelled it
Peter's.
P-E-T-E-R, and it was awkward because he's P-I-O-T-E-R.
It's American eyes, yes.
But that's it. Anything else I think other people read, so...
Pretty optimistic.
Dave?
New series from Aftershock, Lost City Explorers.
I read that.
Number one. This is about a hidden city underneath New York City. And I don't know if we could...
Yeah, they're like city archaeologists, yeah, but urban archaeologists.
Yeah, and they're working... There's like a pool of water, and they're sending drones through there. And then it's acting like a doorway. And all of a sudden, one of the guys gets pulled through. And then they introduce...
Is the upside down?
One of the...
Dave.
Sorry. It was perfect. Come on. You turned it around and it was Stranger Things. Come on now. Sorry, Dave.
One of the guys gets pulled through and he turns out to be the father of some of the teenagers they introduce. And the
son... They assume he's dead.
They have a funeral and they want to give the kids money...
But in order to get it, they have to sign off on something?
They have to acknowledge it was an accident, and then another doctor tells them he might still be alive. So, it's very... It has that 80s movie vibe, Goonies or Explorers or something.
I was thinking even... what's the one they just had? Wrinkle in Time, where your dad's out there. He's just lost. Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought it was well done. I enjoyed it.
No, I thought it was real good. This is by Zach Kaplan, who also did... Eclipse
and Port of Earth.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah. No, I thought it was very, very good.
It was good, yeah. I look forward to the next one. Skyward.
How was that?
3.
Okay.
It's really good.
Is it? Okay,
it's
I read really one. I got behind.
This is about a world without any gravity.
Right, or minimal gravity. There's like a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah. The Willa, the main character, she's down in the streets... Where everybody's wearing these mag boots to keep them tethered to the earth. And she's looking for her father's partner to get him to come back to her father, because her father is all depressed. He doesn't want to leave his apartment for the past 20 years. And but he doesn't want to, so they could solve this gravity problem, but he doesn't want to do that because... He's made a fortune off of this.
Okay.
And a fight ensues. And it's kind of cool how they have a fight and there's a chase through the building. And it's kind of hard to put into words, but the feeling of weightlessness that the artist is able, Lee Garbett's able to capture in the series. It's pretty cool because there's drops of blood. He hits her and there's drops of blood come out and they're just floating around. And kind of giving her away when she's hiding.
Like whenever the Klingons were killed in Star Trek VI,
the Undiscovered
Country.
That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
It was Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It always ties back to Star Trek.
Need a Star Trek title for this episode somehow.
This episode is the no-win scenario.
Kobayashi Maru. How do you spell it? No, I can look
Hey though. Siri, how do you spell Kobayashi Maru?
My web search turned something up for how do you spell Kobayashi Maru?
I love that you have that voice.
Yeah, why is yours British?
Australian, actually.
Oh, okay.
You said it that way.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Siri. You have to say thank you to the robot overlord so they won't kill you later. I always say thank you to Alexa.
I'm just planning on destroying them all.
No, see, we have to learn to live in peace with our robot overlords.
You might be able to take down Alexa, but Watson, you can't beat him.
Watson's too smart.
Okay, 4. I recommend a top recipe called sugar-coated pecans.
The new
title,
sugar-coated pecans. Fair enough. Thank you, Alexa. No, done. Stop. Stop, Alexa. Stop. Alexa, stop. Pecans? Okay.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Recipes from our robot overlords.
Okay. Sorry, Dave. That was Alexa's fault, not mine.
I can't compete with Alexa. That was pretty good.
Don't say her name. It's like Alan Moore.
Exactly.
Beetlejuice.
Okay. Black Hammer, Age of Doom, number 3. Was very good. Lucy Weber, Black Hammer's daughter, the new Black Hammer is in the Land of Nod / Dreamland, which is Jeff Lemire's version of the Sandman universe. And he's playing with all these different comics genres and characters, and he's there and he meets Lucy's there and she meets the Bereaver and her brother, the Timekeeper, and sister Pallbearer, who's like Death. And yeah. trying to find
my Undertaker.
And trying to find her way back to the farm. Where Madame Dragonfly, there's some crazy stuff going on with Madame Dragonfly and Colonel Weird, they're kind of pulling some strings. Really enjoyable, and there is a cameo from Sweet Tooth in this issue, which is pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah. It's just the panel. It's nothing big, but he's in it. Because she goes through this doorway with all these other doors and trying to find these doors and trying to find her way back. And one of the doors she opens is the Sweet Tooth universe.
I love that book.
Yeah. So that was a surprise. That was really cool to see. Star Wars, Poe Dameron, number 28. This is taking place after The Last Jedi. Continuing to take place after The Last Jedi. If anybody is interested in what's happening afterwards, it starts with two characters talking about the battle of Starkiller Base, going back and forth, and you don't know who's talking until C-3PO interrupts them, and it turns out it's R2-D2 and BB-8. Talking to each other, so it's cool to go back and read that over with that knowledge.
R2 wasn't
with
there.
That knowledge. Well, I know, yeah, but BB-8's explaining it to him and everything, yeah. And you see Rey's reading the Jedi texts, and C-3PO is helping her to translate some stuff, and then Poe fills Finn in on everything that was happening while he was in his back to suit after he got injured after The Force Awakens. And they fill in how the First Order started to their attack on Dakar at the beginning of The Last Jedi. It's enjoyable. The art's really nice in this. It's pretty much photorealistic, but it's not like the creepy photorealistic that sometimes artists will do. But it is really nice. And lastly, I'll mention the Archie book. I have to mention Archie Super Teens versus the Crusaders, number 1. It's just a 2-part series. Archie and their classic superhero personas. Archie's Pure Heart the Powerful and Betty's Super Teen, etc. And very tongue-in-cheek story. Dr. Zardox is a new teacher, and he introduces he has the Zarbot that wreaks havoc on Riverdale High, and they have to call in the Black Hood comes, the superhero Black Hood, not the vigilante. And he calls in the Mighty Crusaders, and it's very tongue-in-cheek. Archie's yelling, Super Teens Assemble, and Betty's saying, wrong book. And art was nice, too. Nothing wrong with the arts, superhero arts. It was good. That is all I got. Josh.
Aquaman. This is really good. So we have Merc and Aquaman confronting King Wrath. At the same time, all these different groups, like rebel groups that were, you know, fighting against King Wrath, finally converge together. We find out that we thought that he had unlocked this ancient Atlantean magic that had, you know, powered him, but mutated at the same time. But really, it's this demon that had been, trying to destroy Atlantis for years and years and years, and had been locked away that is now possessed him and is trying to twist his thoughts and his perception of things to get him to destroy Atlantis and build a new kingdom that he will rule. So it gets pretty bloody pretty fast. Some pretty bad happens to Merc in there as they're trying to take him down. But it's been really good. This whole Aquaman story has been pretty fantastic. I've been eagerly waiting each issue.
Okay.
The Batman Prelude to the Wedding, Red Hood versus Anarchy. Mm-hmm. So this one takes place before the first Prelude to the Wedding.
Yes.
Because we're seeing what happens on the bachelor at party mm-hmm. that Selena goes on. This issue was okay. Like
it was nothing okay, special, but
I feel like the best of these issues are ones that have like some nice character moments and have some, you know, kind of heart to them. Where this one didn't really have that. There wasn't really any like special interactions between, you know, the characters mm-hmm. involved here at all.
No, just
if anything, it was almost like more distant than normal.
Well, there was a moment before they went out with Jason and Bruce where he negotiated his fee and essentially, you know, bought Batman a gift with his fee.
Yeah, but Bruce paid him $150,000 to kind of tail Catwoman and make sure, you know, nothing happens to ruin her bachelor party. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was all right. I mean, none of these issues have been bad.
No.
A couple have been really good. A couple have been okay. There's one left, right?
Yeah, today, Harley and the Joker.
That's the end of it? Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because next week's the wedding.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're all right. They might make for a neat, like, collection with the wedding. The wedding's at the wedding that better freaking happen. Deadly Class 35. Man, this book is so freaking good. And Rick Remender with most of his books, at least the ones I'm reading, every time you think you know what's about to happen, he kind of turns things on its head and surprises you, which is exciting, especially for a book that you've been reading for 35 issues, that he's been able to like mix things up or sort of throw a surprise in there as often as he does. I'm not going to like go into explaining what's going on in terms of the plot in this one issue because the story is so involved at this point, but I don't know. I would recommend anyone to pick this up and trade. It's such a good like 80s book that you think you're just getting into like this fun story about these kids in this assassin school, and it just becomes so much more than that. And especially like this issue, this interaction between the main characters and one of the main antagonists that's been you know thwarting them this entire time. It really surprised you. And also, a big thing happens. One of the other characters has been with us from the very beginning. But I don't know. Like, I really recommend this series, especially since sci-fi is going to be bringing it to series. So before that happens, check it out. I think it's coming to an end soon, too. Man of Steel, number 4.
Read it.
Yeah.
This was the first one that I didn't really care for.
Yeah. Oh, see, I did like this one.
I hated the art. I hate it with a passion.
I don't remember who did the art.
Kevin McGuire.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Especially the way Hal Jordan looked in this issue. It just, I don't know, it did not work for me at all. Yeah. The story was okay, but yeah, the art really kind of took me out of it.
I liked the little interaction at the beginning with Batman. I enjoyed that very much. Especially
That was last issue.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. It's all blurring because I really didn't like this week's issue.
Didn't you just say you liked this week's issue?
I thought I would like that issue. This okay. one was the first one I really didn't like.
Okay. Yeah, five.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're on the same page. Yeah.
No. I the one that just came out today.
Oh. Okay.
Oh.
That's not good because it started off really well and each issue has had decline.
Okay. Let's see what else. Shadow Man was quite good. So this has Jack kind of. Somehow he's seeing history through the eyes of his ancestors. So this one takes place in the 40s, and I believe it's his great grandfather, Maxim Boniface, who's Shadow Man. So we're seeing just him like just one night of his time as the Shadow Man, and dealing with like race issues in the U.S. Also, things leading up to the Second World War, and we see some things with like some Nazis in the U.S. are trying to use the tension with surrounding the race issues in the U.S. to try and cause turmoil at home, so that way there's not as much focus from the U.S. on what's going on in the larger world stage. But it was good. It was a really good issue. The art was fantastic. And it looks like for this arc, each issue is going to have him kind of, seeing what's going on, see what happened throughout the, his past or the history of his line. This issue in particular, we saw where the scythe came from, and that's where the scythe is first, gifted to the Shadow Man.
Is he, like, actually Shadow Man now, or is he still, like, kind of like the Magpie
character? He's Shadow Man again, yeah. Looks a bit different than he did, like, in the previous Shadow Man series, but, yeah, he's back to being, okay, like, Shadow Man. He doesn't quite have all of his powers yet, but yeah, he's getting back to normal. Ninja K, number 8.
So, it felt like it took months between issues. Like, I forgot a lot of what was going on between them.
It didn't, though. It was only a month.
Yeah, no, I know that, but I don't know why. It was kind of like you got dumped in the middle of something. I was like, how did they get there? How did this happen?
It was between arcs, was just such a drastic change in direction.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. Like, I liked this issue quite a bit. I liked the banter between the characters. Every character on this, the team felt like they had a purpose. And standing against the team of the Immortals they were going up against, like, it all kind of came together in this issue, I think. The last issue I don't think was as successful as this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it. Just this is more of a... Whereas the first arc was more of like a spy, like espionage kind of thing.
Yes.
This is more of a, traditional, like, superhero kind of fare.
Yeah. Well, and this arc is wrapping up next issue.
Yeah.
Which, again, this was issue 8. The first arc was 5 issues, I think, or 6 issues. So it feels like it should still have a couple more.
I don't think it was 5 or 6 issues. I think I think it was shorter than that.
Okay, maybe it was just 4. Maybe you're just doing 4.
Because normally I try to stick with like a trade for an arc, so maybe 5 issues at most. But
okay,
I'm not sure. Yeah,
but it was. I mean, it's fine. I haven't liked as much as I liked the first arc.
No, the first arc was just really, really cool, really unique story.
I'm kind of hoping they get back to that too.
This ties in with it somewhat with that Jonin character.
Mm-hmm.
The first arc set this up, but I enjoyed the setup more than the actual the story they were building to.
Well, and maybe like in the third arc, he'll go get the Council of Ninjaks and get the other ones that are to kind of help him. To take down Jonin.
I wish they didn't just kind of get moved past those characters so quickly, because some of those really interesting characters.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, is this series going to tie into like the Harbinger War? Because isn't he involved in that?
He is, but I'm not sure, because in Harbinger Wars, he is at odds with Livewire, because he's still with MI6, and MI6 is not on Livewire's side with this. So he kind of politely goes and warns her, like, you need to back down or else, I'm going to be forced to get involved. And whereas in this issue, they're, teamed up together.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if, like, how often they take, like, the actual titles of the characters and, have, like, tie-in issues to whenever they do, like, have their events.
They normally don't, like, the events normally don't tie into the main books for their characters, but they might have, like, some...
Like a one-shot or whatever. Something like that.
Yeah, but normally I think they're pretty good about not making the main series for characters get pulled into events that are going on.
Yeah.
Normally. Like, there's some exceptions. I think with the Harbinger, the main Harbinger book, I think they use that main book to do almost like some one-shot things that related to the event, whenever they did it for the first Harbinger Wars. but nothing that was, you know, crucial, and it could be read standalone too without reading the main event as well. I think it's been a while since that one came out, but yeah, it was still good. I mean, the art was okay. The one thing I did like is we did get to see the return of that the dude from Wrath of the Eternal Warrior.
Yeah.
The guy that was keeping Galad.
I couldn't figure out. I was like, oh, that's right. He jumps into a new body.
Yeah, remember, because he pops into that woman's body. She's sitting at the table, like, eating cereal or drinking coffee or something, whatever it happened. Mm-hmm. And then that was the last we saw.
Yeah.
Saw him or her.
Whatever. Galad is obviously pissed.
But it's not Galad.
Well, but
Galad's body, but not...
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone else is inhabiting it. And it said they were, like, luring, you know, Ninjak into a trap, like, getting him to do something for them, so...
It's a trap.
And I think, is that everything I wanted to mention? Well, did you read Gideon Falls, Dave?
Yeah, I did read that, yeah.
That was pretty good. This is really starting to kind of ramp things up. That one two-page spread where the doctor looked in the mirror... And
what was going on there?
So, like, so what happened is you have the one guy, who the doctor thinks should be put back in a mental hospital, and he has been trying to find pieces of this Black Barn. And she finally saw that vision of the Black Barn, but she thinks she just, you know, because it listened to his stories, and maybe she just, you know, hallucinated or whatever. But then she is in her bathroom, like, you know, washing her face, and then all of a sudden sees her mirror as a portal to a room inside this Black Barn where some like,
okay,
guy is sitting there, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre looking kind of guy, sitting there at this workbench.
Yeah.
And then as she starts to reach into the mirror, she can reach through, like, this portal almost into this room that she's looking at, and the guy takes notice, and he turns and grabs his hammer and starts going towards her. And at the same time, you know,
okay,
she tries to, like, smash the mirror, trying to, like, break the portal. And they did this two-page spread showing, like, both parties here, like, just slight movement and showing, like, a mirrored effect. But it was really cool how it was all laid out in the art with
that's,
the...
That's how he's really good when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was really neat. It was really, really neat.
Yeah, we'll have to look at it again.
And at the same time, in Gideon Falls proper, you have the priest... who's trying to figure out, like, more information about, you know, what's going on with Father Thomas and this Black Barn, and talks to this doctor who said he was one of the members of this group called the Plowmen,
right,
who their job has been to fight against the Black Barn and the evil brings in Gideon Falls, and he doesn't quite believe all this. He thinks it's just this cult, and the deputy is one of the members, so he goes to see the sheriff, and she, you know, writes it off as all just being, like, superstition and whatnot, but there's clearly something else going on, because whenever they go on that call to see where the deputy is at, they find the one husband for the young couple, looks like he killed the deputy and hung him, and it's sitting there almost like in this, like, ritual kind of, like, setting. I don't say it was a pentagram, but it looked like he had some sort of, like, diagram out of the blood on the ground, and say he says he was waiting for the priest to get there. It's weird, but it's really good. The art's fantastic. It's just the way it bounces between the two settings, but still somehow, like, there's balance, connection there. It works really well.
It's really interesting. I'm trying to keep up with it, but it's really good.
And now that's it for me.
That's it for you. Okay. Justice League 2?
I read it,
but I talked about enough stuff. I was saving it for someone else.
I thought it was okay. I thought that the beginning with Lex Luthor going to the Elks Lodge or whatever it was, blowing it up, was interesting.
Yeah.
I
hate you. I've always hated you. Goodbye.
The way with the text, like the stuff that was, like, lightly texted, that's supposed to be, like, stuff where he's staying, like, under his breath, like...
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Yeah. That's kind of how I took it.
Lex Luthor's, like, fully went back to being villain.
I don't remember specifically what happened in it, but I remember thinking, this is a Justice League book.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess there's a new emotional spectrum, the ultraviolet core.
Yep.
And they put Sinestro back in his old 70s uniform.
Yep, the blue with the starburst around the neck, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that, but okay. It's just, you know, challenges his super friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe
well, since we're getting back to the Legion of Doom.
In Green Lantern? Because he died, like, three times there towards, like, the end of that.
And there's a patch of Chief, and you didn't see him?
Okay. No. He was behind El Dorado. I didn't... yeah, and they, infect,
John Stewart
with the, ultraviolet.
Yep.
Yeah, and Batman and Martian Manhunter are trying to recruit John Stewart to join them because I think he knows something.
And he does know something
that he was trying to...
Oh, that was so cool! How they use Swamp Thing is like a... like deep space comm device.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense. Like, when you think about it, it makes sense because regardless of where he's at spatially, it's still all... Like, the plant's still part of the green.
Right. Yeah,
it was neat.
I mean, they've done that too, like back when Animal Man still had his own series.
Mm-hmm.
He was on an alien planet and was able to do the aliens' animals, like, abilities. So, like, there's a thing there that...
Yeah. No, that was really neat.
Man, I wish they had an Animal Man book.
You and me both, brother.
But no, very good. I think this has been a real good start to this run. So I'm happy, and I'm looking forward to those spin-off books, too.
Yeah.
Tony Stark, Iron Man. Dan Slott's first run. Not bad. It was okay.
Did he have Tony wake up and be a Stark again?
Tony, yes.
They wiped out Enzo?
No, they didn't do that. I don't know if he's a Stark, but he they're dealing with his mom. His birth mom. But it was him and dealing with Ironheart, and I think Miles was in it. And it was just kind of a good all-around issue, good start to the run. My only concern is it's back to Tony being, you know, the super braggy multimillionaire, and it's all setting up for a fall. And the last time I stopped reading Iron Man was when he lost his company and all his money, and he had to go back to basics.
It's like, just every Iron Man.
Yeah, it's like just don't do that again. But definitely a solid start to that. Avengers number 3. Just continuing on now. Loki's a little more in the forefront with the damaged Celestial, and there's this group called the Final Host, which is coming to destroy Earth that they're all trying to figure out how to fight. And Loki's just kind of taunting them because he has his pet Celestial. So moving along, it's been good. It's been an Avengers book, you know. So it's nice
Justice
to see
League being Justice League,
right?
And Avengers
so
being
it's
Avengers.
It's good to have everybody back, and even like the Iron Man was Iron Man, and you know, so we're getting back to the characters being characters. The books being what we want. I want is more as a classic as opposed to these old little niche things. And then the last one I read was New Challengers number 2. Which I really liked, and I'm really sad that this is only a 6-issue mini, because especially after this one, it's very interesting. The first one kind of set up all these new characters. They were all brought at their time of death to become challengers, to give them that extra time. That's why they have the hourglass. And this one starts off mid-mission, and this one guy, the mission they're on, he realizes has something to do with his death. And so he really wants to figure out what's going on, because he was killed by these people. He's a hacker and living in a truck away from everybody. And
down by the river.
And all of a sudden these guys kind of recruit him and they drive the truck on and stuff. He's like, you know, how did you get me? And they're like, that's your only question. You know, you only care about this. You know, maybe you're not the person we want. And then they shot him and then he became a challenger. And then now in the mission, there's something with that, with these people. And so he's striving to figure out what was going on. But then as it gets to the very end, they're talking to the head guy who recruited them all, and all of a sudden he gets shot and killed, and it turns around and it's the original Challengers of the Unknown, basically going, who the hell are you guys? So that was interesting. It's like, how is this going to wrap up in 4 issues? This, you know, it just feels like it's a much bigger story. So I'm not sure quite where it's going there.
I like the first issue a lot. I just, when I was trying to drop a few books, that was
okay.
One that,
two was really good. I really liked two.
But it, since it's a mini, I'll probably buy the trade when it comes out.
Yeah, it's been good. That's all I got, Pat.
Read the last thing I did.
That was it. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're having a quick episode, which is good. Cause
that's good.
I like this.
I want to go home and chill. Where are we at?
We still hit the hour mark.
Oh, did we? Okay, good.
Yeah.
So what's coming out next week, Colin?
Okay, hang on. Again, I was unprepared. I didn't know it was going to... It was coming so fast.
She said.
Yeah, it can be a problem. So next week we have Astonishing X-Men 13. The reason I'm pointing this one out, this is the start of Matthew Rosenberg's run on it. And he specifically said he didn't want a new number one. He just wanted to continue the numbering, which I thought was kind of neat. So that's starting his run, which should be good. Avengers number 4. There's this little Batman book. Something's going on in it. We got this Captain America book, and let's see, Catwoman number 1, which right on the cover tells you to read after Batman 50, which I thought was kind of nice. We have Cosmic Ghost Rider. I know you guys are all big fans, but the breakout character from, is that my daughter? Okay. Donnie Cates' Thanos run. DC Nation number 2, that's their little freebie newsletter book, so we're getting that next week. Death of Inhumans number 1. This is Donny Cates doing.
Can they just die already?
Yes. Well, they're going to die at the end of this one. Guaranteed. Doctor Strange number 3. This one's been coming out bi-weekly, which is a little quick, guys. One I'm looking forward to, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Only because it's Dynamite, and Dynamite, surprisingly, has been really good with these little oddball books. I really like Betty Page. I really like Barbarella. So we'll see where this one's going. Charlie's Angels came out this week. But it's not. That's the thing. None of them have really been smutty, per se, for their own purpose. I thought they've been good. House of Waxwork. That sounds like a cool horror book. I don't know who it's by, but I just like that. Hunt for Wolverine, Weapon Lost, number 3. Immortal Hulk, number 2, that I blew out of number 1. So we'll see how number 2 does in sales. Jim Henson, Beneath Dark Crystal, for all you Dark Crystal fans. There's a new one coming here. We got Joe Hill, The Cape Fallen. Now, I'd never read The Cape, but from my understanding is something happens to this guy, he disappears for a little bit and comes back, and he's The Cape. This is a story of what happened in that missing time. We have Justice League number 3, Lady Mechanica, a new series, a little three-parter there. Those have been really good. People really like them. Low Lifes. This is one from Brian Buccellato about, I forget what it is. It's like three people. It's like a drug dealer, a gangbanger, and a moth, or a crooked cop or something all get together to do something. Man of Steel number 6, last part of that. New Lieutenants of Metal. This is Joe Casey about this big band, metal band that is like does something. Orphan Black Crazy Science, new Orphan Black series. Project Superpowers is doing a zero issue, getting those characters back again. It's Green Llama, Death Defying Devil, Masquerade, Black Terror, some other characters. So they were like 40s team. Quantum Age from the world of Black Hammer, so we're getting another Black Hammer mini. People have been enjoying these greatly. We got Star Wars 50. I love the little teaser for this one is, in this issue, Hope dies. So. Yay. Submerged is a new one from Vault. Interesting little one. And then Unnatural number 1. This is one from this Italian artist. She was at the Image Expo, and she was really excited. But it was funny because English is not her first language. And it was just trying to explain what was going on. It was cute. Just watching her, stumbling over words, but kind of laughing it off, so it was enjoyable. But it's basically like a human animal hybrid characters. So next week we are on Tuesday having the midnight release for Batman the Wedding and for Captain America number 1. They also Diamond has officially announced that all books can be on sale, so you can come down at midnight and get anything. Word of warning, I will not be here. I'm going to the beach. So Tim will be here, and I'm assuming Adam will be here, and a lot of these guys will be here to help out. Midnight, I'm assuming it's going to be big and fun. We're opening 11:45. I've been opening 11, but then people get here at 11, grab their books, and go, what do you mean I can't buy it now? And then stand at the counter for an hour. So I figured, well, to negate that, we'll just open at 11:45, pick up your books, buy them, and then you can still hang out and talk. So probably no podcast next week. At least there won't be one uploaded next week. If in case you guys do want to come and record one, that's perfectly fine by me.
4th of July too.
Right. Well, I think we're only open 11 to 5, so people can do their 4th of July things. We don't have to worry about people coming after work. That's about it. Book club is Friday. This Friday we're doing We Can Never Go Home. Already picked the book club for next month. I forget what date it is. It's the last Wednesday or last Friday. In July, and then we're going to do Kingdom Come, just because I want to read it again. That's about it. We're almost done with Justice League month for Double Points, and next month we're doing Captain America. So, let you in on all the things going on. And I think that's about it. So, I don't know. Who wants to say it?
That's the podcast.
Thank you, Pat. We will talk at you in 2 weeks. So, have a good one. See ya.